What's going on, everybody? Just be your boy.
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous. Sorry, with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast. And I have a very, very special guest on the show. I have Tade Self. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, I'm excited for you that you came on the show. I know you have a lot of stuff on your plate right now. But, you know, I'm just, you know, like I said again, just I appreciate you coming on the show. Before we get into the podcast, with the questions, you know, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm currently a senior at the University of Michigan. Just finished my school year, and I've been interning for Pro Football Focus in their research and development department for the last year. So my background is kind of in doing data and analytics on football and stuff like that.
Okay, so what made you want to get into that? Like, have you always had that interest, you know, growing up, getting into analytics and the numbers, or is mm-hmm. just...
Yeah, so you know, since I was a really young kid, I've always been really interested in football in general. Mm-hmm. Even though the first season of football I followed really closely was the 0-16 Lions season, I still, for some reason, decided to keep them as my team and go from there. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to college, you know, I started learning how to code and program and like analyze data. Mm. And so since I liked football so much, I figured out, you know, ways to analyze football data and be able to take metrics from there that can be used to help make me better at, you know, just being a football analyst in general.
Wow, that's interesting because just recently they just started doing that, I believe. I think about 5 or 6 years ago, in terms of like really going in depth of like, you know, the analytics as far as like Brady's release time and, you know, Lamar Jackson's speed, like, you know, it wasn't like really like this when I was growing up. I'm old, I'm 30 years old, so I remember when, you know, Michael Vick was, you know, Michael Vick, you know, for the Falcons. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really have, you know, as far as like calculated speed and, you know, his arm strength. Same with like, you know, when Peyton Manning and all of them was in their prime. So now it's like, you know, of course, technology is becoming so much advanced that, you know, we have the ability to do so. And I feel like that's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is definitely the next step for the NFL is to kind of really get into all this mm-hmm. data, because we've seen that for decades now in baseball, you know, with mm-hmm. going back to the Oakland Athletics with Moneyball. Yes. In the early 2000s. The NBA has kind of had their, you know, data analytics revolution with the mid-range shot, you know, becoming, you know, less sought after and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So now the NFL really getting into data and analytics is going to be really interesting to see how that changes the way, you know, team building happens and play calling happens and stuff like that.
It's very incredible. So tell us about, like, what made you want to go to University of Michigan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I grew up about 45 minutes outside of Detroit.
Okay.
So I've been in the Metro Detroit area my whole life. And, you know, Michigan was always very appealing to me because they had so many options to choose from, you know, when it came to picking a major there. Mm-hmm. And it's a big school. And, you know, I thought the culture was great from what I heard from people who were older than me that, mm-hmm. that went there. And it looked like it had good job opportunities for people after college. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of those, you know, coming together, plus the in-state tuition helped a lot. Oh, yeah. There too. So, you know, all of that coming together made me end up going there.
Yeah, of course I know about that because, I remember when I was, a senior in high school my senior year in high school, and I was looking at like the cost of living, you know, in different places outside the state of Florida. And I'm mm-hmm. like, nah, I'm just gonna stay in Florida, like, mm-hmm. you know, I grew up, me being from Miami, I grew up a University of Miami fan, and I went to school to FIU, but I'm a college football fanatic, and I'm you know what you called a Michigan Wolverine. How you call it?
I'm a Wolverine.
Yes. Like I'm y'all distant cousin because I do not like Ohio State. I despise them. I remember to this day, the 2002 national championship. I was in what grade I was in? I think I was in the fifth grade. I'll never forget fourth or fifth grade. That pass interference that call was no, that wasn't no pass interference, and that still hurt us to this day. But just watching you know Michigan as a whole, not just in football but of course in basketball. Like, how does it feel to go to a school, you know, that's, you know, very rich, you know, especially, of course, in academics, but also, you know, in athletics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really lucky to be able to attend a school like Michigan that has so many resources, like you mentioned, in both academics and athletics. You know, it's been really cool experience to, you know, have, there's just so much opportunity available, you know, at Michigan. Like, For any interest that you might have, there's probably a club or a group of students that are also interested in that same thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like since I've been into, you know, sports my whole life, like I mentioned, like there's just so many people there that you're always able to talk to sports about. It just really makes you smarter and like changes the way you think when you hear so many different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And so like a lot of that comes from, you know, talking about like the Michigan teams in general, and there's people who are really into it and know, you know, all 80 players on Michigan's football roster, or there's people who casually follow along and just like to tailgate and go to the games, and you just hear all of their thoughts on football, and it really like changes the way you think about the game and kind of analyze it and from that perspective.
Was you at the game when they beat Ohio State?
Yeah, no, that was you know, crazy experience there. It was a long time coming. You had multiple seasons where, you know, in 2016, where it looked like Michigan was going to beat them in Columbus, controversial call in overtime, Michigan ended up losing that game. And then 2018, Michigan is 3.5-point favorites again in Columbus with the best defense in the country, and gets torn up. So, you know, Michigan fans really deserved a moment like that to, you know, have this type of season with a Heisman candidate and beat Ohio State.
Yes, I remember like the exact moments because I remember, you know, everybody was rooting for, everybody said we rooting for Michigan, but we know Ohio State gonna win. I said, nah, Michigan's gonna win. And just that beautiful, it's an image that's been passed through around like in social media, you know, when everybody, the whole student body and everybody was on the field, and that was like one of the most like beautiful moments, you know, in college football, just to see like the scenery and stuff, and of course, you know, cause y'all haven't beat Ohio State in how long before then? It was a while.
Yeah, since 2013, I think. Yes. So yeah, a long time.
Yeah, so it was a beautiful moment. And I know y'all went to the college football playoffs. Y'all won the Big Ten. Y'all went to the college football playoffs. Of course, y'all went through Georgia. But how was it like to finally go over that hump to beat Ohio State and then, you know, win the Big Ten title and then, you know, finally become, you know, part of the party, be part of the college football playoffs?
Yeah, it was, you know, it felt, I think, really fulfilling for a lot of people who, like myself, have defended Jim Harbaugh during his tenure at Michigan. You know, in 2020, when they went 2-4 in the COVID shortened season, there were a lot of people saying that Jim Harbaugh should be, you know, fired or let go or different things like that. But when you look at Harbaugh's whole career, it's not a coincidence he succeeded at every place he's been. Mm-hmm. He's a really good head football coach to have, you know, going all the way back to San Diego State and then Stanford and then, in the NFL with the 49ers, where he took them to the Super Bowl, and then, you know, takes Michigan to the playoffs this year. He's a good head coach that just got unlucky in a couple big games throughout his career at Michigan. So it was, I was happiest for him that he had the opportunity of beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten, and being able to coach in the playoffs.
And I also feel like Coach, because I was one of the people that was like, he shouldn't be fired because, you know, his recruiting. I was like, if he get fired, he could come down here to UM. But when I was telling people, you know, for him going to college, then going to the pros, then coming right back to college, I felt like as a fan, I felt bad for him because I know the transition was very hard because, you know, you started off in college, you know, you pretty much know the whole routine, and then you go to the pros, and then you get used to, like, you know, is you deal with more grown men, and you don't have to necessarily go and recruit as much, you know. Of course, you have to go to certain games to scout sometimes, but at the end of the day, you pretty much have more scouts going. You have scouts doing that more for you versus if you was in college, and then him going back to college, of course, coaching for one of the most biggest prestigious, you know, programs, you know, all of sports, all of college sports, and to just, you know, keep going at the wall, keep going to the door, knocking on the door, because people got to realize, you know, it's hard, like, especially, like, you know, you're coaching a team where you have big games against Michigan State and Ohio State, you know, Wisconsin, you know, is and then, of course, you know, here and there, y'all play Notre Dame. People got to realize it's hard, man. So, you know, I'm glad he kept his job. I'm glad that he, you know, he's growing, you know, as far as at the program. So,
to build off that point, like, for him, especially someone who played at Michigan as a player and has a lot of family ties to the program, when you play those highly emotional rivalry games, like you mentioned, like the Michigan State of Ohio State and Notre Dame one, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to perform well in those games, just because you've had so much history with this program, right? Like, it's not like Lincoln Riley showing up at USC where he doesn't have, like, ties to them, and, you know, it's you've been a part of Michigan's football program for 30, 40 years now, and you care deeply about, like, what's going to happen while you're there in these games. You know how much the fans care. So it's a really tough job for him, but he executed it great this year.
Yeah, man. And speaking of that real quick, how do you feel about college, like, football? Not just about the NILs and all that, but even, like, with the different coaches moving, the transfer portal, because I have a cousin. He went to FSU. He graduated from South Carolina, and he transferred to FSU. And I was just asking him. He was already done with college football, but I had to ask him. I was like, you know, how's the transfer portal and everything? He's like, man, it's like the Wild Wild West. And then you hear these different, you know, analysts, you know, they talk about how, like, you know, it's harder for a 17 and 18 year old, you know, recruit to come in because, you know, you have these kids, you know, you have these schools that recruit a kid from, like, a, you know, a junior college or even, you know, from a bigger school, you know. So how do you feel about the climate right now, the landscape of college sports?
Yeah, I know your cousin's description is really good, that describing it like the Wild Wild West, because that's kind of what it's become, where loyalty doesn't mean as much in college football as it used to, right? Like, with Brian Kelly being at Notre Dame for as long as he was, just packing up his stuff and moving to LSU was a pretty shocking event, that we don't see a top 10 coach who coached for, you know, that many years at one program, just like leave and go somewhere where he's not necessarily a culture fit. And Lincoln Riley is, you know, the same thing. And then in regards to the transfer portal, players, they, with NIL now, they want to be in areas where the stars shine the brightest. So that's why you have someone like Jordan Addison not wanting to stick it through with Pitt and, you know, going to USC where he can make more money in college, which is a good thing because the NFL is not a guarantee to any of these players. And even if you do get drafted, you don't know how long you're going to last in the NFL.
Right.
If you can make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in college that can support you for, you know, the first 15 years of your life, like that, that should be something that, you know, we're happy about that's happening to these players.
Right. And, you know, for me, I was an advocate. I remember when, I was just talking about this in another podcast, but, I remember when I was a freshman in college, as an undergrad, I think it was Northwestern University. That was one of the few schools to come out and say, hey, we need a union and have, you know, players get paid. And fast forward, I remember, you know, my master's program, we had a debate and we were saying that should college athletes get paid or not? And I said they should get paid, but the argument within the argument was what the debate within the debate was, because I had this classmate. She did her undergrad from at West Virginia, and I think she was a volleyball player, a softball player. I don't remember, but she was pretty much saying that, hey, so if athletes are gonna get paid, meaning the, you know, the football players, the basketball players, baseball players, you know, in certain states, you know, you have hockey and lacrosse is up there too. She was like, so what about the volleyball? What about the softball? What about the golf and tennis? And I was pretty much telling her, like, hey, at the end of the day, the main two or three sports that make the money is football, basketball, and baseball in most schools. So I'm like, you know, you just, that's just going to, it's like it's gonna have to. Like the school themselves have to deal with that. But you know, we fast forward and we seeing the change. I love it because, you know, kids, you know, athletes, student athletes are they're getting paid and they, you know, real deserving, because you know you know how it is. Like, it's crazy. You see these kids, they go to they wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, go to practice. Then have meetings, then go to school, then they got to have a mandatory breakfast, go back to practice, then come back, eat a mandatory lunch, go back to class. Then you got a 30-minute practice, and then you got to go to study hall. They move like robots. And then the other half of me is like, I love it, but then at the same time, it's becoming so crazy. It's getting to a point where it's like, I see what some of the analysts are saying. It's kind of ruined the game just a little bit. I wouldn't say that much, just a little bit, just because you just one day, you know, you have a player from Michigan. He's like, nah, I'm gonna go to Ohio State. Like, it's crazy. It's really the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, that's why I think, you know, with that debate that you had in your classroom was really interesting. You know, the right way to start it off is with name, image, likeness, because if you're, you know, if you're part of any sport, you can, you know, you can figure out a way to market yourself to a point, you know, on social media. We've seen, you know, like different types of players, like at Michigan, there's Adrian Nunez who doesn't play much for their basketball team, but him and his girlfriend have built up, you know, millions of followers on TikTok.
Right.
So they've been able to get NIL deals based off that, right? So there's different stuff for other teams to do, but you know, it's just with so much player movement now, it just becomes a lot about which coaches are good enough to, you know, kind of have these systems in place where, first of all, you have to be, you know, a coach that players really like playing for and really respect. And, you know, they won't transfer out of your program as often. And then another thing you have to do as a coach, and this is what all like the Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher controversy was about this week, was like, you have to work with these companies in your city that want to sponsor these players and like have an NIL budget in place, an NIL program in place at your college football program to be able to get these players deals when they come to your school. And like, that'll make it more likely for them to you know, come to you and stay with you all 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that, to me, that was comedy, because, I'm in the South, so, Alabama began a lot of our kids, of course, from South Florida for a long time, ever since Nick Saban, was the coach, ever since he started being the coach at Alabama. Mm-hmm. And, before NILs and everything came in, you already know, it was college sports was, we seen it all from all the documentaries. Like, we could go back to, SMU, Pony Express, where, students was getting paid, under the table. They just got caught, So now it's just like what Jimbo said in his press, he was kind of like dry snitching, but he wasn't wrong, because, Nick Saban, he's the GOAT. He's one of the greatest, college football head coaches of all time. But when Nick Saban had that comment, even when he was talking about Deion Sanders and Jackson State with the $1 million, and then he talked about how, he seen in the newspaper how University of Miami college basketball is paying kids $400,000 and stuff. I'm like, first of all, that $400,000 could just be as a a cap. You know how like you do in sports where they have like a cap, a cap hit.
So that salary cap, yeah.
Yeah, so that $400,000 could be just spread out, as a whole. And then he talked about how Texas A&M bought their players. I'm like, man, like, you've been doing this for years. But you're angry now because everything's pretty much it's fair game now. I went to FIU, so FIU being a school in South Florida, they could find a multi-million-dollar alumni and be like, hey, we need some sponsorship, some deals for a couple players, and then they could do it. Mm-hmm. So like you said, he need to step his game up, especially, up in Tuscaloosa, and just network with the different businesses around the area, so that was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, and like even Jackson State getting Travis Hunter, mm-hmm. and saying that they're gonna give him, he'll have $1 million sponsorship deal as long as he does some stuff. Like, yes, it's really important now for coaches, mm-hmm. to, have these things set up in place where you're networking with car dealerships and restaurants, mm-hmm. in your college town, and providing these players an opportunity to come to your school and say, like, you can get, let's say like $100,000 a year if you do a couple commercials for this car dealership, right. or something like that, right? And like that's what Jimbo Fisher happened to have already in place for this recruiting class, and that's why he had the number one recruiting class this past year. And it makes sense that Saban is kind of mad about that, because he's just had stuff in place where he was giving players, mm-hmm. money, whether it was him or the boosters at, mm-hmm. Alabama. But now it's like it's more open to do that. Like, all the other schools can go and do that without having to get worried about getting in trouble for it. So the clean programs, yeah. And I use clean with air quotes if there are any of them, but can go do that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, man. Like I said, and I can't wait to college football, because this season is going to be so crazy, because all the talking, during the off season, this is going to be probably the most exciting college football season. But real quick, before we go back to you, do you feel that the college football playoff should get expanded?
Yeah, so I've gone back and forth on this throughout the past couple of years, mm-hmm. and I can see the argument for both sides, mm-hmm. but it's hard for me to see an expansion right now, mm-hmm. with what we currently have in college football, because there are only two or three teams every year that actually deserve to compete for a national championship, right?
Right.
You know, like last year it was very clear the top two teams were Alabama and Georgia, and mm-hmm. that's why in both of their playoff games they won by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of seen that consistently every year. There's been so many blowouts in the college football playoffs that we kind of know who the good teams are mm-hmm. by the end of the year. So, you know, like we've talked about, if the landscape of college football starts to change and players are going to, you know, different schools and the talent is spreading out,
mm-hmm.
then they can look towards expanding the playoff. But right now, I think four teams has done a good job of capturing exactly who should be in the playoff
mm-hmm.
every year. And, you know, they've gotten the national champion, you know, in the playoff every year now. So like that's been one of the best team has been one of the top four teams. Like they haven't left anyone out that could have been a national champion. So they've done right there for sure.
Right. I agree with you. I do think it really does need to be an expansion. My opinion is okay. Like last year for me, even when Georgia lost in the SEC championship, I said Georgia is the most complete team I have mm-hmm. seen throughout the whole season. I knew they was going to win the championship. Even with that loss, I knew they was going to beat Alabama. For me, I feel like it was a couple seasons, especially the first season. I don't know if you remember, but remember when Baylor and TCU.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
you remember that? Mm-hmm. That was, I think, yeah. that was the first. Was it the first or second season of the college football playoffs? And
that was the first season.
Yeah, that was the first season, and you know the Big 12, they didn't have a championship game at that year at that time because who left? It was Colorado left, Nebraska left. It was mm-hmm. it was a couple of them that left, so they was like, we just gonna crown the champion at the end of the season. So when Baylor and TCU played, I'll never forget that game. That game was a very good game, and they both had one losses, I believe. And I'm just like, you know, the first season, I was like, why did they go with just four teams? And I knew at the time, like, four teams is not enough. If they could have did at least six, started off with at least six teams, I don't think we would have been having this discussion of, oh, we should expand the playoffs. I feel like six would have been enough.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe 10 years down the road, let's bump it up to 12 or 14, because I've seen like the different ideas of, you know, let's have a home and home, you know, schedule, and then we could still implement the bowls. Cause you know, I think the whole challenge is they want to keep the bowl season going. You know, that's always been college football tradition. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's going to be the real challenge of how can you, you know, still have the bowl season. I feel like, you know, if you expand it to 12, for example, you remember the Cotton Bowl and the Peach Bowl at one point, they wasn't part of the Big Four. They became part of the Big Six because, you know, they was the next bowls up. That was, you know, that was, that had that tradition. And for me, mm-hmm. I'm like, if, you know, if you're going to expand the playoffs to like 12, okay, the next bowl should be like the Sun Bowl. The Sun Bowl is one of the oldest bowls, you know, in history. Then you could add the Gator Bowl, and then you could add, what's another great bowl? I think it's the Holiday Bowl or something. Like, mm-hmm. just try to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So like, the thing about expanding the playoff is, yeah, that year with TCU and Baylor where they chose Ohio State
mm-hmm.
is like the committee ended up being right there, right? Like with Ohio State ended up winning the national championship,
right?
Yeah, no, I do like your proposal for a six team playoff
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that's kind of where we see the separation
mm-hmm.
throughout the season is between the top six teams. And that way you can have something where it's the best five or the winners of each Power Five conference plus mm-hmm. whoever is the best non Power Five winner or the best group of five team. Like they can decide there too. And then the top two seeds would get buys But yeah, it's, you know, it's just really interesting. I think the way that, you know, ESPN mm-hmm. as a media company that has full control to the playoff has kind of controlled the way we've talked about college football is it's become too playoff centric mm-hmm. when, you know, college football is just fun to watch games that like don't, you know, relate to the national title race mm-hmm. because the fans are so passionate and, you know, it's just like a good time to mm-hmm. watch those types of games, right? So I feel like that's been the big change with the playoff coming in is it's just made too much focus on that specifically mm-hmm. when like it's just fun to watch, you know, like Ole Miss and Mississippi State play a game, right. You know, a rivalry game where both of those teams aren't in the playoff race or anything.
You know, we're going to continue to have this until, I guess, 2025 when they, you know, renew the contract. So let's talk about Pro Football Focus. Like, what, how did it happen? You know, I know you're only an intern right now, but how did it happen? Like, was you excited when this happened, when you got an opportunity to intern for Pro Football Focus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, for a long time now, I've been a big fan of what Pro Football Focus does. You know, it's a pretty big task to grade mm-hmm. every player on every play in, you know, both NFL and college. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's impressive that they're able to do so. Even if the grades aren't, you know, necessarily the end all be all, they are highly regarded, you know, among a lot of teams and analysts mm-hmm. and different stuff like that. So it's definitely a good way to analyze teams. So my journey to get to PFF was I was just kind of posting on Twitter, like different analysis that I had or, you know, some interesting data that I would find. I would just throw it out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that caused who ended up being my boss, Eric Eager, mm-hmm. who's the head of research and development at PFF. Mm-hmm. He noticed my account and he followed me, and I reached out to him and asked if they had any internship opportunities. And he said that they did, actually, and that, like, from following my account, he thought I would be a good fit, and like that, like, it looked like I like knew what I was talking about and mm-hmm. stuff. So when I actually got the offer from them, I was really excited because it just opened up so many new paths of, you know, being able to work in sports and working with that data and, you know, all this stuff I was able to do, like this opportunity with you today, like mm-hmm. wouldn't have happened if I wasn't doing Pro Football Focus stuff, because like it allowed me to really grow my content and take it to the next level.
Yeah, man, it's you know, I'm just glad to see like young people like yourself, you know, especially for me, I'm working on my doctorate right now. So with me, when I see, because when I was interning, you know, I interned at FIU for an equipment manager position, and mm-hmm. then I interned at a local sports agency down here in South Florida. Shout out to Sports Capital Group. But for me, I just love, you know, seeing students, you know, like yourself, just grow and get the opportunity to, you know, get these internships at these big, you know, Fortune 500 or even just big, you know, corporations that's or up and coming, you know, companies that, you know, are willing to not only help y'all, teach y'all, but also, you know, get y'all to the right path in y'all career, so y'all won't be able to worry about paying crazy bills and stuff after y'all graduate. Because I just feel like, for me, I understand college is not for everybody, but mm-hmm. as time goes by, for me, I still feel like if you want to go to school and you want to learn and you want to go into a certain career, you know, of course you could go and get a certification. You could get a you could go to what's the school called, vocational schools. You could go that route. That's cool. Like, I, you know, we need more carpenters, we need more plumbers, we need more electricians. But if you want to go to school, like you went to school for information and you picked the right school, and you want to, you know, start interning and eventually working for these companies, or you have your own business one day, like I feel like college need to change the they need to change the their what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry. They need to change up their not the criteria, but they need to change, like, for example, I remember when Barack Obama was in office, he was trying to eliminate what's it called? Like basic, you know, studies, you know, as far as like when you go to school, you gotta take English and all that stuff again. No, he was trying to pretty much, once you get into school, you already working, you already taking up classes for whatever you you studying, you know, like you taking the classes, so you won't be in school for that long.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I feel like, you know, hopefully this will happen by the time my daughter's 18 years old. If she want to say, "Hey, Dad, I want to go to school for engineering," I'm like, "All right, cool." Hopefully by that time, the schooling, like college, they'll have a point where once she get in, she'll go right directly into the classes that, you know, that's going to help her get that degree, you know, in less than 2 years. And then, you know, she could get her master's if she want to, and then hopefully like a doctor or something. It's up to her. But I just feel like, you know, I like how everything is changing from when I was in school, you know, and I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, and it's definitely something that, you know, we've all had to deal with, where, you know, I had to take multiple years of Spanish, and have never used it, you know, since then. But it was just one of the requirements we had to do, right? And you know, and different stuff like that. And like another thing that I've really found in college, and like I get asked a lot by other college students on Twitter that, like, "Oh, do you have some advice for me and stuff, like with what classes I should take?"
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with what you were talking about, like, and the classes are good, and like it's good to be there and get your degree and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But like all my experience has come from working on projects outside of class.
Yes.
Of just like doing something I wanted to explore. You know, I was just curious about a topic, and I kind of dove into it. And like that's when you like really learn the most.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you're applying and learning new things to something that you're interested about, because when you're interested about something, it's going to be a lot more fun. It's not going to feel like schoolwork or work to do something like that.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say too, because it's like I tell people all the time, you know, people, you know, that come and ask me, I said, you know, only thing with college is, you know, the loans, you know, is crazy, but If you could be that person that could be outgoing and just willing to network with different people, you know, not only is it gonna be fun for you, but in the long haul, it's gonna help you in your career. It's gonna help you in anything that you want to do. It's gonna open up so many opportunities. That's my only one regret. I wish I did more. I wish I would have networked even more, you know, when I was an undergrad. But, you know, y'all kids, you know, y'all young men and women, I'm not gonna say kids, y'all young men and women, y'all different, because I'm a millennial. Y'all are more like centennials. Y'all like the next generation. So y'all more, you know, integrated with technology. Like with us, with the millennials, we was more social media. All that was, like, I remember when Facebook was just started and I was in high school. I was, like, junior in high school. Twitter, you know, Twitter just came around. When I got into college, that's when Instagram, Snapchat, all that, Vine, you know, all that started to come up. But with y'all are utilizing social media and y'all taking advantage of it. And I appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I know it's kind of lucky that, you know, we grew up in an area with social media, and like, you know, there's a lot of bad that happens on social media, but yeah, if you use it the right way and interact with the right people, like a lot can get done from it. And like I've really enjoyed like interacting with everyone that's reached out to me on Twitter, or I'll reach out to someone, and you know, most people are really nice and really helpful, and get you, you know, what you need or what you're asking for. Mm-hmm. So it's been really good to have, you know, an active Twitter account where I've been able to post stuff and people have been able to interact with me and just stuff like that.
Right. And then I have a couple more questions before we end the podcast. The first question is, name me top five moments, you know, I guess in Michigan, you could say either Michigan or Detroit, like sports history, like your top five favorite moments, whether it's with the Lions, the Tigers, the Pistons, the Red Wings, or even, you know, University of Michigan itself. Like, just name me like top five moments of, like, you remember, like, as far as like sports, like sporting events.
Oh yeah, no, this is a great question. I'll try to get as many sports in there as I can. So my favorite moment was Golden Tate flip into the end zone against the Vikings in 2016.
Okay, yeah, I
thought that was such a cool way to have a walk off touchdown. Mm-hmm. The Lions were a good team that year, and that was a really important win to go into Minnesota and get that there. Second moment would be Trey Burke's long three pointer against Kansas in the 2013 NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, you know, that was an all time shot. You know, is clutch, you know, Trey Burke was my favorite player then and everything. So that was sweet. Mm. Another Lions moment would be Christmas Day in 2011. They hadn't made the playoffs. You know, I had been alive I was 11 years old, and they hadn't made the playoffs a single time my whole life, when basically every other team in the NFL had made the playoffs at least once.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone was really nervous that they were going to blow it in that game and miss out on the playoffs, and they just smoked the Chargers and had a punt return for a touchdown that really sealed the deal. So that was a super cool moment. And then a Michigan football one would be the comeback against Notre Dame, mm-hmm. under the lights, when they went 90 yards down the field to score a touchdown in the first night game,
mm-hmm.
at the Big House, you know, in the history, you know, when they put in the lights.
Yeah, so, that was when I had Shoelace, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Shoelace Robinson, from, yeah. Yeah. He's, mm-hmm. from down here. He's from Deerfield. Yeah. You're a legend.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Denard is he was my favorite player from Michigan football. So, you know, he was just electric, right? So
electric.
Yeah, and then the fifth moment would probably be the Pistons, you know, winning the draft lottery last year and getting Cade Cunningham. I know that's not like an actual game, but it was just so exciting to get a player like him and hit for him to have as good of a rookie year as, you know, we all expected him to. Was you know, a lot of fun to watch last year.
Hey, Cade Cunningham, he's going, because I know he had a slow start this season, but mm-hmm. Cade Cunningham, when he got used to the flow of the game, he's gonna be somebody special. Because I have a godbrother too. He's from here, but he is weird. He's like, he loved like the Pistons, and it's weird, like, cause I'm like, I know you ain't gotta like the Dolphins and stuff, but it's like you from Belgrade, Florida, and you like the Pistons and stuff like that. Like, that's just random. Mm-hmm. But I understand, cause, you know, the Pistons got a lot of history. But he was like, yeah, man, Kay Cunningham, he's a real dude. I said, yeah. Like, I was talking to somebody, I was telling them that, you know, even during his slow start, I said, y'all beat us a couple times, you know, the Heat. And I was watching him. I said, Cade Cunningham going to be a problem. He kind of remind me of, like, LeBron-ish with a little bit of Kobe. Like, I could see that growing up, he was watching a lot of LeBron and Kobe. And
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and his, you know, he's going to grow. He's going to grow. So y'all, mm-hmm. gonna have a great team. I think y'all in the draft ladder. What's y'all picking on draft ladder? Lottery things like top four, right? Of this year.
No, so this year they got fifth, actually. So okay. It was a little bit disappointing, but I still think they should be able to get, you know, someone like a Jaden Ivey or a Keegan Murray there.
Yeah, it's, this draft, this, and it's crazy because we talked about the last couple drafts, and the last couple drafts wasn't as deep, but it had a lot of talent that, you know, I guess, you know, we was all overlooked over them. But this draft right here is so deep, like, it's ridiculous. Like, even, like, the undrafted talent is going to be crazy. So, you know, y'all going to get y'all, you know, another piece and just build around that young core y'all have.
Yeah, the Pistons seem close now that they've got franchise player in Cade, like you mentioned, like getting someone to compliment him and, you know, having Sadiq Bey and Jeremy Grant and everything, like they seem like they're close to starting to compete for the playoffs now.
Right. Yeah, y'all go be just like with even with Houston and OKC.
Yeah.
The way y'all see how Memphis has grown, how they got the young core, I can see y'all. Even the Pelicans, I can see y'all going to be the future of the league once, you know, LeBron retire, once the Splash Brothers and them retire, you know, once KD and them retire, y'all going to be one of the face of the league. You know, hopefully my Miami Heat still be there with Tyler Hero and them, but, you know.
Yeah.
we'll
yeah. I mean, you must be excited right now. I mean, I know last night was probably tough.
Oh,
but,
my God.
You know, just overall, like, two Eastern Conference Finals in 3 seasons is something that, you know, you should be pretty pumped about.
Yeah, like, it pretty much, because they had a poll that was like, should Jimmy have more love than Wade? He would never, even LeBron, they would never have, Dwayne, it's Wade County down here. But the reason why I feel like people down here respect Jimmy Butler so much is because look what he's working with. He's working with young talent. Majority of the talent, they undrafted Duncan Robinson, Max Ross, Gabe Vincent, just to name a few, was undrafted. You know, then of course we picked up PJ Tucker, he was undrafted and stuff like that. But Jimmy is like, I said this the other day, he's like if LeBron and Dwayne Wade had a baby, that's Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. You know,
when he takes over, it's special. You know, he could be too passive sometimes, but playoff Jimmy is ridiculous. And I hope, you know, if not this year, but next year, the next couple years, because he, you know, he's getting older. I hope he gets a ring, you know, and that'd be a different feeling. It would kind of remind me of when we won back in 06, because we had to go through, matter of fact, speaking of the Pistons, we had to go through that team. You know, with Chauncey Billups and them. So when we got through that hump and then we beat the Mavs, it was like one of the greatest feelings, you know. So and one more question is, where you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
Yeah, I definitely see myself working in data and probably in the sports industry. I get asked a lot if I want to work for a team, and, you know, I kind of talked about this at the beginning, but, you know, the NFL is a little bit behind with like how much they've embraced analytics compared to other sports.
Right.
So I don't necessarily see myself working for a team, but I love to do stuff like this where I can come on and I can talk about, you know, football and just sports in general. And so hopefully I'll be something related to, you know, where I'm, you know, writing about football analytics or, you know, doing a podcast about it or just, you know, something related to that. That's where I see myself.
You really should do a podcast. Cause I've noticed that, fantasy football, you know, fantasy sports in general, like whether it's football, baseball, basketball, it's becoming very popular that a lot of people are having podcasts, but you as an analyst, you know, in analytics, like, you should create a podcast. Like, that would be dope. And, you know, as my podcast grow, and because, you know, my dream is to have like a satellite radio show and stuff. Somehow, some way, you know, in the near future, you know, I can have you come in, you know, you give your, you know, how ESPN have like the analytics department. You'll come in and talk about, you know, this player did such and such, but, you know, he wasn't, his release wasn't as better as it was before. You know, stuff like that. You know how y'all analytics, you know, how y'all do it, you know, which I respect so much. But yeah, man, I'm gonna follow you. You know, like I tell everybody, you know, once you come on the show, you're an alumni. So anything you need, you know, just holler at me.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and I definitely can see, you know, based on this and kind of looking at your other stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to do really big things in this space. You know, you cover a lot of different topics that people mm-hmm. will be interested in, and you do a great job of it. So it'll be really cool to see, you know, where you end up going after this and how big you end up making it, because I have no doubt that you'll be really successful in this industry.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So before we close out the podcast, you have any recognitions and any shout outs before we close it out?
Oh yeah. I mean, if anyone listening wants to follow me on Twitter, most of my stuff mm-hmm. is there. It's at TEJFB Analytics. So like Tage FB Analytics, you can just follow me on there and all my stuff will be there. And, you know, if anyone wants to ever reach out to me, my DMs are open. I love to chat with people and help any way I can. So always feel free to DM me there.
Yeah, man. And, you know, once again, thank you for the encouraging words again. And, you know, just thank you for coming on the show. Like I said before, I know it's crazy. You know, you still a college student, you an intern. I know life is getting, you know, very crazy. So, you know, just thank you, you know, for sacrificing your time for coming on the show.
Yeah, no, pleasure was all mine. I had a lot of fun. This was super enjoyable. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. No problem. And everybody, just been your boy. DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast with Tage Self. And we out. Peace.